Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the podcast about musical theatre people by musical theatre people and musical theatre. We'll get there. It's me, KB, and I am joined at the table by Zaytsy Weber today.
That's me. There was a little bit more of a question in that by musical theatre people.
Yeah, because I said that we were going to talk about musical theatre people instead of musical theatre. It's a Sunday morning, guys.
I'm sure, I am sure we'll talk about Christian Ball at least once.
So much. It's going to be great. And because we are doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, not because we're doing an episode on Christian Ball. but you are not the only one at the table.
No, we have
some super cool guests.
Two of them.
Yeah. Which is why it's just the two of us today.
Correct.
Which is weird.
And no other reason.
The first guest is Josh Moore.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
It's nice to have you. I can't believe you haven't been on the show before.
I know. I love listening and now I'm here. And I'm excited.
It's so good. And you have brought a friend with you.
I have brought a friend.
And it's Lawson. Hi, Lawson.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's so good. Now, you two are both starring in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at Phoenix, which is why you're here to talk about the show. Lawson, I'm guessing you're playing Willy Wonka and Josh is playing Charlie. Is that the way it's going?
How did you know?
Oh, I'm just really good. You're Veruca.
I'm Veruca.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah.
But before we get to know the show and the characters that you're playing, we need to get to know you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's only natural.
That's the way it goes.
And because Miranda's not on mic today, Zane, the Getting to Know You song falls to you.
Getting to know you. Was that great, Miranda?
So good.
I got the thumbs up. So.
Miranda's our producer for this episode, so she's
we're just getting the thumbs up. It's great.
The thumbs up from producer Miranda. Okay, guys. Question number one. Which musical character would other people compare you to?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Very topical, actually. But I think Willy Wonka.
Really?
Yeah, I thought about it because he's like a bit of an introvert, kind of marches to the beat of his own drum a bit.
Yeah.
A lot. Literally separates himself from society.
From society, again. But yeah, very, very whimsical, but also very weird, a little bit misunderstood.
Now, what would you say about me saying he's also a little bit, just a little bit creepy?
Oh, he's totally creepy. Totally creepy. But again, I think misunderstood creepy.
Like, misunderstood creepy.
Yeah, like he doesn't think he's creepy, but other people think he's creepy.
And he's fun and creative. I can see it.
Yeah, whimsical and weird. Whimsical and weird.
Whimsical and weird, guys. If you've never met Josh before.
Whimsical and weird.
What about you, Lawson?
Well, my family thinks Simba from The Lion King because he's brave, kind, and is a good leader. And I was one of the captains at my school last year.
Hey.
That is probably the sweetest answer we've ever had on this podcast.
Oh, it's going to get sweeter. Oh! You wait.
Lawson, we're going to have hearts breaking all over the world. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, you are.
He's ready.
My granddad thinks this especially because he loves the Lion King and his business logo is a lion.
Guys!
Hey. Yep.
I don't know if we're going to get through this episode without me crying.
There's a box of tissues at rehearsals and we just keep on dabbing those tears.
All right. I'm ready for the next question. Are you guys ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
SpongeBob. Just endless enthusiasm, positivity, friendly to everyone, no matter what. SpongeBob. Who wouldn't want to be SpongeBob?
No one.
It's the best.
It seems very exhausting existence to live.
But it doesn't bother him because he's so happy.
I honestly would like to watch the musical where a Willy Wonka type transforms into a SpongeBob type.
Let's make it happen.
Leave it with us.
We'll do it.
How about you, Lawson?
Well, I think Donkey from Shrek because he's kind, he looks out for his friends, he's funny, and sometimes he talks too much like I do.
The stuff you say, Lawson's wonderful, though.
Thank you. That's pretty good. Well, have you seen Shrek the Musical?
Yes, I also performed in it.
What?
Were you Donkey?
No, I was the Wolf.
Nice. Well, we'll get that happening. We'll move you up and we'll see what we can do.
Guys, I'm glad that you said that because Donkey is an underrated character, I think.
Yes, he really is.
I love Donkey.
Yeah. Good choice. Well done. Approved at the table. What are your dream roles, guys?
Well, for a long time, it was Willy Wonka.
Bam.
Dreams come true, people. But I love my doll stuff. So probably Miss Trunchbull as well, or Mr. Wormwood, Matilda.
Nice.
Yeah, I think he makes great stories that turn into great musicals because they're weird. They're weird.
He was a bit weird.
They translate well to stage.
They do. Mm. They do very, very well. What about you, Lawson?
Probably when I'm a bit older, but Dewey Finn from School of Rock, because he looks really fun to play and he believes in what he loves and is not afraid to stand up for it.
Yeah, boy.
Lawson, you've stolen the show. You can host the rest of the episode. I think that's what's going to happen.
KB's just being lazy now.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
I like Sweeney Todd.
Nice.
I like Sweeney Todd because it's just the best, is it not?
You say that like it's a controversial opinion.
But lots of people say Sweeney Todd, don't they?
Lots of people say Sweeney Todd, but I think if you met Josh, Josh is like very upbeat, very like happy, and so he's like, I like Sweeney Todd.
I like Sweeney Todd.
He's a SpongeBob type.
I'm a SpongeBob type. But like Pirelli guys.
It's true. There we go.
There it is.
How about you, Lawson?
I haven't seen any.
That's what I was about to ask.
But I'd like to see West Side Story because it's set in New York in the 1950s about two rival teenage street gangs. I'd like to see it to know more about New York because I'm supposed to be in New York about right now because of the Aussie All-Stars, but because of COVID it got cancelled.
Can you explain to me what the Aussie All-Stars are?
So it's a theatre group. My theatre group, we went to Newcastle to perform.
Amazing.
And I auditioned for the All-Stars and I got in.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then you go to New York as part of
we
that.
Were supposed
well,
to
you
go
were
to,
supposed to.
We were going to perform in Disneyland and like go to Broadway and get taught by some like famous actors.
Oh.
That would have been amazing. Happen, maybe it will happen sometime in the future when we're allowed to travel again.
Yeah.
I'm very reassured that those were the reasons that you want to watch West Side Story, not that you're interested in joining a street gang.
Although the dance fights are always very fun.
I've always said it, that if street gangs fought ballet style more often, I think it would be a better world.
It would solve a lot more problems, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I would be a jet. That's what would be happening. What is your go-to shower song, guys?
I don't really sing in the shower very much. It's a bit... the shower's like my quiet time. It's like my chill-out time.
All right.
But I sing in the car.
Okay, what's your go-to car song then?
I like Something Rotten.
Yeah, nice.
I'm a big Something Rotten fan. A musical. It's just 8 minutes of... the best of, really, isn't it? So you get a bit of everything.
This is true.
Yeah.
It is true. I feel like now that you've played Willy Wonka, you're probably going to go down a Christian Bale path.
I love Christian Bale. We're gonna get to him. Yeah. But I adore him. Everything he's done. So Shakespeare would be...
would be next on the list.
Rock star time. It'd be so much fun.
And Lawson, what's your go-to shower song?
I have to agree with Josh. I don't really sing in the shower, but if I had to pick something, probably Singing in the Rain, because I did the show, and ever since, it's been... I've loved the song.
Amazing. And there's water cascading down.
Yeah, it's kind of like
it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Amazing. So good. Guys, we've gotten to the ultimate question, and it's sometimes the hardest one to answer. So just like mentally prepare yourselves for this moment. You have to delete one musical. It can't be Cats. That one's dead, buried, burnt in the ground. We've done it so many
Officially it has been done 9 times. We had a statistician come on.
Yeah.
Who tells us we actually only deleted it 7 times, but we have deleted it twice more since.
Yeah, so it had all its 9 lives and now can't be deleted ever again. but other than Cats, which musical we delete?
Controversial.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Wait,
I feel like...
Sweetie Todd.
Sweetie Todd. Tell the Chocolate Factory. No. Mean Girls. I really don't like Mean Girls.
That's fair. I don't really have a say on this because I haven't seen it or don't know really anything about it.
Explain why that is fair. I thought that you would be the one opposing this the most.
As a fan... of Mean Girls.
Yes.
I can understand why people might not like it.
I don't like it. Nothing really to do with the music or anything. I just didn't like high school very much. And it gives me anxiety.
It's
and Mean Girls is like high school turned up to 11. It just makes my blood boil. I can't stand it.
I'm going to high school this year.
You're going to have a great time, Lawson. Don't let anything I say.
Do you have a problem with all High School Musicals? Is there a good High School Musical in your opinion?
High School Musical is a good High School Musical.
Thank
really?
You, Josh.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, I don't think we're going to get along.
It's the drama. I can't stand high school drama. I think it's petty. So.
High School Musical is high school drama.
But not to the same.
But
extent.
Not to the same.
I get it.
You see,
it.
Heathers is like number 2, but I like the chaos in Heathers. You know,
I love
so.
Heathers. You can't.
Anything
tell me
set
that
in a high school that's not done by Disney, let's delete it.
Okay.
There's quite a lot. There's
I mean, we put this in here to be controversial, that's and you've succeeded. So
well
yes.
done, Josh.
I've done it.
What about you, Lawson?
Well, this is probably going to be a first, but I wouldn't delete anything. I would rewrite the ending of Matilda because it ends on a cliffhanger how the parents just walk out and you don't really see how Miss Honey and Matilda just like settle down. So
yeah, so you just be like, hey Tim, good old Minchin, I just have a few edits for you
from Timmy, this point. Timmy boy.
Timmy my boy.
Timmy dog. T-dog.
We're just gonna make sure we know exactly what happens to all the characters. Like a little like montage of like, you know, in the after credit scene when they sometimes pop up characters and they're like, such and such went on to do this.
Like that.
I think
like
it might be nice for them to just have a little song together.
Yeah.
About all the things they want to do now.
They just do the little cartwheel at the end, don't they?
Yeah.
Do a little cartwheel and off we go.
Maybe there's like an epilogue, like Harry Potter style, that it's like 10 years later and they come back on stage like old people.
Yeah, with wigs and makeup.
We'll work on that for you, Lawson. But now that we've gotten to know you guys, we should get to know the show that you have brought to the table. So let's play some music and then talk about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was composed by our friends who composed Hairspray.
And Smash. Lots
good
of good stuff.
Mark Shaman and Scott Whitman, which I hadn't realized until I started researching.
Really?
Yeah, I have been listening to the soundtrack for years, and I'm like, this music's pretty good. And then read it, I was like, oh, that's why it's good.
Oh, that's why
it's good. They're good at what they do.
They actually wrote it while they were filming Smash.
Oh.
Yeah. They were doing all the demos.
Good old fun facts.
Good old fun facts. And do you want a Christian Ball fun fact?
I absolutely
You
do.
Absolutely want a Christian Ball fun fact. They were writing it for London while they were filming Smash.
And they were writing it with Christian?
And they were writing it with Christian. He did all the demos because he was on set. They're like, oh, Christian, you'd be good at singing Willy Wonka.
You can do this, but you won't be in the original.
You won't be
London
in it,
cut.
Not in London. And then when it went to Broadway, they're like, there's only one choice. There's we have to get choice. Christian.
Now, the West End version and the American version are actually quite different to the Broadway version. There's a lot of new songs in the Broadway rework. There's songs that have been cut out. Mr. Bucket doesn't appear in the original Broadway production of the show, which I heard the like duet that's meant to happen between Mr. and Mrs. Bucket.
as I'm listening to the original Broadway cast, and then it's just Mrs. Bucket, and by the end I'm sobbing because I'm like, oh no!
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. Very understated. It kind of sneaks under the radar, but when it hits you, it hits you.
And the whole time I'm waiting for that, like the second, I'm like, they're gonna cross over. He gets back from work. There she goes to work. It's gonna. It never happens.
And he never came.
We kind of have a Mr. Bucket, but not really.
Okay, please explain, Lawson.
He's dead. He's a ghost.
Okay.
So then, he's dead like a lot of people in this show. In Mrs. Bucket's song, he comes and they dance together.
That's so sweet.
Little ghost dance.
Oh, what? Goosebumps.
I guess we should say, have we mentioned that you're both in a production?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, remember Lawson's playing Willy Wonka and Josh is playing Veruca Salt.
I do remember that now, but I was like, have we announced that?
Russian ballerina.
I panicked in my head.
Now, guys, before we go any further, it is your job to give us the entire plot of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in 2 minutes. Mm. Have you decided who's taking on this challenge?
Do you want to do it, Lawson?
Do you want to do it together?
Do you want to do a minute each?
Let's do a minute each.
One word each.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to do act one or two?
You do act one. That's your act.
Okay. I'm going to get the official timer out, which is just my phone.
Oh, no.
It looks very official. Miranda's on it already. So you have 1 minute for act one, Lawson. Do you need to do some like vocal exercises, get into a mental state?
He's
more prepared than any guest we've ever had.
He's ready.
All right. The best tone for when you're done.
It's got to be the best alarm.
It has. It's got to be...
Just not the alarm I have when I wake up in the morning. It'll give me flashbacks.
Now, I have a fun fact from the movie, While We Wait.
I have some too.
You have some too?
Yes.
And it was called...
He's flicking through his pages.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because it was sponsored by a confectionery company who wanted to use it as advertising. And they didn't feel like focusing on Charlie would be a good idea.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
So it's nice that the show, the Broadway musical and the remake of the movie have brought Charlie back into...
Okay. Well, I have three fun...
First, let's do the plot and then we'll do fun facts because that's my favourite part.
Here's some I prepared earlier, he says.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Are you steady?
Go. Okay, so to start, a young poor boy called Charlie goes across and he finds a candy shop that's just open up. Then he says to the candy shop owner, I'd give anything to see inside that factory. This gives the owner an idea. Soon after, the chocolate maker, Willy Wonka, who's actually the candy man, comes out with a competition to let 5 children inside his factory that's been closed for years. There are 5 golden tickets, get one and you get a tour of the factory. The first 4 tickets are found. The first, Augustus Gloop, a big child who likes to eat and is greedy. The second, Veruca Salt, a kid who's upset, who always gets what she wants. The third, Violet Beauregard, a kid who's obsessed with gum. And the last, Mike TV, a kid who's obsessed with TV, as you know. Then Charlie finds a ticket after watching everyone else win a ticket. His family scrimps together enough money to buy a chocolate bar. He rushes home to tell his family about his win. His mother and grandparents are excited, but not as excited as Grandpa Joe, the grandparent who used to work at Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Suddenly, he can walk again after being in bed 45 years, and he hops up and dances with excitement. Done!
Yay! Yes!
Act one!
That all happens in act one.
Did you breathe while you were saying that?
Okay, quick. Get air back into your body, Lawson. Well done. Good job. We know all the players. We know where they are. They've won golden tickets. Are you ready to take over, Josh?
I'm ready.
As the act two, probably act two. Main character.
Yeah, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
So Willy Wonka lets him into the chocolate factory in act two. And one by one, spoiler alert, everyone's seen the show. One by one, they drop off. And at the end, you've got Charlie at the end. And it's kind of revealed that Willy Wonka's goal was to find the next Willy Wonka, to find someone to take over his factory.
Because he's quite old.
Mm. And he can't do this forever, but he doesn't want his company to fall apart. He wants it to continue on, his legacy, but he wants to give it to someone who deserves it. Someone who sees the world the way he sees it. Someone good, honest, kind. And we found a little Charlie Bucket to give it to.
Oh, amazing. And Charlie says, no, thank you, sir. And that's the end of the show.
And that's the end of the show.
Well, I do say no, thank you, but then I do say yes, please.
And then you're like, oh, jokes. You have a glass elevator, so I'm going to go...
Psych!
I'm not as kind as you think I am. I'm going to take your company. Well done, boys. That was very, very well done. Good job. Now that we know the premise of the story, what are your three fun facts, Lawson?
Okay, this is about the movie.
Amazing.
But first of all, the least exciting one, the Chocolate River was real.
It was real.
It was real.
And Charlie's voice broke halfway through because of puberty, so his voice is actually higher at the start than the end if you listen to it.
Touch wood. We don't want your voice to break.
And then, this is very interesting, but Grandpa George fought in World War I, so they had to use, and was nearly blown up by poison gas. So they had to use a red light during filming to show him where to look.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
That is quite amazing. That's very, very cool. Did you know, this is my last fun fact, that Roald Dahl, at the age of 13, was a chocolate tester? Cadbury sent him chocolate to test as a teenager, and that's how he started imagining, because that's what he wanted to be then when he grew up, wanted to be a chocolate inventor. So then he started coming up with the story.
I
know, right?
At
I was 13. Just thinking that.
At 13!
That's amazing.
I'm not too far off that. You're not, so maybe we should write a letter to Cadbury.
Dear Cadbury.
Yep, dear Cadbury, we have...
As tradition dictates.
As a 13-year-old, I know chocolate best. Please send me your sample.
If someone at Cadbury's watching, just something to think about.
Now, there are a few differences between the West End production and the Broadway production. You guys are doing the Broadway version.
Yep.
So, for one, Veruca Salt is now European?
Russian. She's Russian, and it's hilarious. It's so funny.
Is. Which she is not in any other... production the show. So this is a new thing.
It's really funny. I think kind of the main difference between the Broadway version and the West End version is the Broadway version's very Looney Tunes.
Yes.
You know, very Looney Tunes. Christian Ball said he based his Wonka on Bugs Bunny. It's just wacky. It's playful. It's silly.
Yeah.
And I think flipping her into a Russian just really allows those two characters to be even sillier, and they are, they're wonderful.
It does add to the character. Really funny.
But that's the only, so Veruca is Russian, Augustus is German.
Yep.
Violet is American.
Yes and so is Mike TV.
And Mike TV, both of them are American, and you are British.
Yes.
So we've got a full maybe we should make Mike TV
version,
really Australian.
I am American in our version.
You're American in your version. Yep. Too. Okay, interesting. I would have thought that we would have gone more like worldwide. If we're going to change one character, you know, why not change all five?
Something.
Why
you
not?
Know?
I think Veruca should be Kiwi.
Yeah. You know.
Yes.
It just makes more sense.
I saw the video, and it was, what are the chances that all the gone tickets found were by that all the gone tickets found were won by children and white children as well
in America,
and the odds were like 0.00% chance.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
It's because Wonka's a little bit shifty.
Wonka's a bit shifty. And there was one more change, and I have forgotten.
They added all the songs from the original film.
From the film, Candyman and Pure Imagination.
I've got a golden ticket. And the Oompa Loompa song.
We're not in the original West End production. But you guys, I'm sure, are having a lot of fun being able to bring what maybe you fell in love with as a child into a production of what you're doing.
When they were in London, the brief that they were kind of given was, we want a show that's just kind of its own thing. We want to detach it from the films and make it a new story, a new incarnation. So they wrote all original music.
Yeah.
And then when it went to Broadway, they were like, We want to bring the American audience in with the film because the American audience loves it so much. So they put it back in again.
Which is so funny because the film flopped originally.
Mm.
It only made $4 million at the box office.
Only $4
million. And it wasn't until it was aired on TV that it became really popular. So I guess people have that like at home nostalgia about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Reading it as a kid, watching it as a kid, and now being able to see all those characters come to life right in front of your eyes. Do you guys have a favourite song?
I like More of Him to Love, which is the Augustus' introduction song.
The end of the Veruca introduction song I like.
Yeah, but not the beginning.
No, you not can, really. You
can just do the away end.
With it. Yeah, I just like the end. But yeah, probably the Augustus song.
What's great about the four introduction songs for the four kids is they're all so individual. They're all written in the style of that character.
Yeah.
And you can totally tell which one is for which. And they're all very funny. They're all very witty.
And those introduction songs are slightly different between the two shows as well. Which is pretty cool. And the biggest difference, I guess, is that in the West End version, all the children were played by children, whereas in the Broadway version, you, Lawson, as Charlie, are the only child in the cast.
Yeah, like us.
Is that a bit weird? Or not do you really like? I mean, you have our good friend Shannon Foley playing Grandpa Joe, so
has
I'm
he
sure
been
that's
on here before?
he doesn't leave us. we love Shannon. So is that fun working with Shannon?
Yes, it's
like
very
that?
Fun. He's a very good actor.
He is. He's pretty funny, huh?
We love Shannon.
We love Shannon. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Lawson's nodding his head. He's nodding his head. I have a thing about Grandpa Joe, though.
I have a thing
for Grandpa Joe. I have a, like, you've been bedridden.
You have a bone to pick?
I have a bone to pick. You've been bedridden. There's four of you in a bed. Now it's a single mother cleaning up, looking after you all. And you haven't been able to walk this whole time.
That's
and
the magic of chocolate, KB.
He gets a golden ticket and suddenly...
He can
he's
walk.
He's okay.
If you had
we
been
discussed
a
this in one of the
rehearsals. You would understand.
I will never understand. You discussed this in a rehearsal, did you?
Yeah, me and Shan talked and we were like, suspicious.
Suspicious.
Suspicious. Grandpa Joe, are you a good person?
We have so many backstories. Just, you know, fill in the time at rehearsals.
Amazing. I love that. Have you got a favourite moment that's popped up far into it?
Well, I want to say when Veruca gets torn apart because it looks...
That is so sadistic. I love it.
I think it's going to look really good because they got like a fake puppet and I think just with the props, it all comes together.
There's a bit of theatre magic in there. Yeah, that's...
I quite enjoy the end of Act 1 and then also the end of Act 2 because you kind of get the bookmarks of Wonka as a character. You know, the end of Act 1 is this madness, insanity. It's outside the factory. He invites them all in. And it's like the best intermission ever.
Yeah.
It's such a good ending to Act 1. And then the end of Act 2 is it's all stripped back. He's very human. And it's all about the emotion of giving the factory away, taking a step back and pushing Charlie forward into the limelight. You know, it's the two sides of Wonka. And they're both beautiful for totally different reasons. It's great.
Nice. Very nice. Now... This show has won a couple of awards. It won some Laurence Olivier Awards for costume design and lighting design. But my favorite, and I guess I will have to see it, I'm assuming it's the moment that we're talking about here, Lawson, is that it won a Drama Desk Award for the Broadway production for outstanding puppet design.
The puppets, the Oompa Loompas. I don't want to say too much because I kind of want it to
hilarious.
Be a surprise. But it's
hilarious.
It's... They're very well done, very tongue-in-cheek, very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Okay. All right.
I mean, historically, but like famously snubbed.
It was.
On Broadway.
It was.
It didn't have a good run on Broadway.
It didn't. And everyone that I have talked to who has seen the West End production also did not enjoy it as a show, like as an audience member. That, so it is very interesting because the music is so... lively, it's so fun to listen to that I would have thought that would have transpired on stage in the same way. But
I think one of the reasons that it famously didn't do very well on Broadway in compared to West End is on West End it was in the biggest theatre in London.
Yeah.
Huge, massive sets, ginormous. And then when they moved to Broadway, had to shrink everything down because they couldn't fit it in. So they changed director, so
yes,
they brought Jack O'Brien on board, and then they had to kind of condense this massive multi-million dollar spectacle and put it into a Broadway theater with smaller sets and kind of a bit of a more of a recreation.
Yeah.
And so people kind of went in thinking, oh, I want to see all these crazy sets.
Yeah.
And then when they went down the route of pure imagination and you have to make it up yourself, people were a little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
But then I also think it's actually a really cool idea. I quite like it. I like the, because also buying into the whole Looney Tunes thing, if there is no set, you can make things up in your mind that you could never really make in person. There's like an obstacle course scene in Act 2 and it's bananas and you could never do that set in real life. No. But in your imagination, anything's possible.
I also think, as someone who loves minimalist theatre, if your show is relying on the set to bring the value of the show, then you probably are heading in the wrong direction.
But again, again, there is the expectation of the text being this landscape made of candy.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
This crazy chocolate river ride, that sort of thing, like that spectacle. I guess, like you said, you can make it up in your mind, but obviously people didn't get what they wanted.
No, and also, like, if you were to go into a theatre being like, I'm going to see a chocolate river on stage, you're probably going to be disappointed. Like, like, if you're expecting that crazy psychedelic tunnel scene
from the movie.
I
expect to swim in a chocolate river.
You are coming into the theatre on a
you
boat.
You want the VIP experience.
A life jacket for exactly this reason.
Now, Julie isn't here. But have we found...
I haven't.
...a bad review? I'm going to just quickly Google bad review.
I mean, I will say I looked at the...
There are very... A lot of...
The reception. West End received mixed to positive reviews. The Broadway received mixed to negative reviews. And the Australian received mixed to poor reviews.
Yes,
yes.
And I was like, I don't know if I should find one because I feel like I'm just piling on at this point. I mean, we like the show.
We do like the show. I do have a good review.
Well, please.
You share the good
shine
reviews
that positivity,
while I
Lawson.
Shine the bad one.
Shine that positivity.
So some of the highlights from this is the ingenious depiction of the Oompa Loompas, the beautifully realised and joyfully manipulated acting of them. The first act is fun enough, but the second act is like a perfect bar of Wonka chocolate.
Aww.
It is manic. It's a manic act. It really is. It's just... It's so detached. It's so up and down.
You
can really not predict what's going to happen next. It's fantastic.
I mean, that's the thing. When you go back and watch the movie, like, the movie isn't not that. The movie is, like, it changes tone from scene to scene. And it's up and down and all around.
I think that's one of the wonders of Wonka is he's so unpredictable. And his character arc is, like, up, down, up, down, up, down. Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh no!
We found a really bad one.
I'm just going to read you the first two sentences of the Sydney Morning Herald's
because the third and fourth and fifth are too
because
bad.
I haven't, because there's a picture after that and I haven't read further, but there's enough in the first two sentences. Our friend Cameron Woodhead at the Sydney Morning Herald has given it 1.5 stars.
Ooh.
Maybe 2.5 stars. 2.5 stars. If the musical Charlie and the Chocolate Factory were a chocolate bar, you'd keep the wrapper and bin the contents when no one was looking. As a stage confection, it looks glorious with impossibly high production values and plenty of inventive razzle-dazzle, but what's inside leaves you with an empty feeling and some of the updated ingredients taste rather strange.
Where
he's like, it looks beautiful, but the rest of it...
That was worded beautifully,
it was
though.
So
like, as far
lovely.
As negativity goes, I quite like that.
Like, well done on your scathing review.
Well,
that was
like,
the wordplay.
I have some edits to do because I'm a wonderful writer. but yeah, he's not a fan.
I think that the secret to this show, and our director, Kate, is really big on this, and I love it, is the secret is if the cast is having fun, the audience will have fun as well, especially in this show because it's so loopy, and the fun we're having on stage translates into the audience. So as soon as a cast kind of, I don't know, takes a back seat, starts going through the motions, it loses some of the nuttiness. So I think that's part of the secret as well.
And I think probably there's only so much stereotype you can play on stage, right, before it becomes ingenuine. So if you're not actually portraying genuine personalities, people are like...
No, 100%.
Sure. Everybody there is very nice and like really welcome.
Yeah.
Welcoming.
Is this the first show you've ever done, Lawson?
At Phoenix, yes.
At Phoenix? What other shows have you done?
Okay, I have a list of her.
Flicking through the paper.
Excuse me while I get my CV and headshot out of my bag.
I've done Shrek Jr., Golly Gee Whiz, Legally Blonde, Singing in the Rain, heaps of ensemble roles, and I was going to do other ones with like Aussie All-Stars and stuff like that, but cancelled.
No. Is this the first lead role you've played?
No.
No.
Shrek, I had a sort of lead role, but I had the lead role in Golly Gee Whiz.
Oh, amazing. So. And now you have to share it with this guy.
Oh, he runs rings around him. He is spectacular. I remember, little story, first rehearsal.
Yes.
Because it's the first time it's being done in Australia and I think worldwide at an amateur level. Yes. So the scripts hadn't been printed yet. So we just got a stack of paper, which Ben did for us. And we all the adults were joking. Oh, like, don't drop it. Whatever you do, don't drop the paper. And then one of us did. One of the ensemble members dropped his paper. So it's all over the place. Pages, like the numbers, all out of order. It's going to be a nightmare. And then Lawson, having never met this man before in his entire life, gets onto the ground and starts picking up this paper, putting it back in order for him, and then hands it back. And there was an audible sigh from the whole cast of like, oh.
And did you look up, Lawson, and you're like, you all watched me do that and none of you helped me?
I don't think so. No.
But from that moment, we're like, oh man, this kid is perfect for Charlie. He encapsulates Charlie.
Charlie Bucket.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
Amazing. Well, is there anything else we need in this section, or can we move on to our lessons learned
lessons
every time?
Learned.
I want to always learned. Skip lessons. Let's move on.
Let's do it.
Play that music, Zane. So, what are some of the lessons Charlie and Chocolate Factory have taught us?
Have you got any notes on this one, Lawson?
I have three.
You have three notes. All right.
So, first of all, never judge a book by its cover. Everyone thinks Willy Wonka is like an old madman, but in the end, he reveals he's like really nice and caring, wanting to share his legacy with Charlie.
Now I don't want to fight with you. And I'm not going to pick on your point about Willy Wonka, but what about Mike TV and Veruca and all the other kids? Like, they're literally...
Yeah.
Exactly what they present as.
True. You shouldn't be greedy. Let
me move on to my next point.
You should always share and like be thankful for what you have. And no matter who you are, you always have a chance. Like how Charlie, even though he's poor, he finds a ticket, but his family has to make sacrifices. Like when Mrs. Bucket shifts a cut at her job and they don't have a lot of money, they still buy a bar of chocolate for Charlie on his birthday.
Yeah, absolutely. Because his grandparents are hoarding money as well as not helping out at home.
I've got money in the mattress.
I mean, is the lesson there never trust old people?
Best lesson ever.
The question is, maybe create some circumstances to see people's true colours.
Yeah. I think again we can play off Lawson's point there and just like the curative or the power of hope.
Yes.
Because I think that's the point of like why Grandpa Joe gets up is like he finally has something to get up and look forward to, that sort of thing. Or you could just the curative power of chocolate.
Yes.
Chocolate
is very powerful.
Oh, it's science true. Has proven that you should be having lots of chocolate. And we are sponsored by the chocolate industry chocolate today.
I learned a factual lesson, and that was that there was actually chocolate espionage.
Oh, in the real world?
In the real world.
Spies and thieves. They're everywhere.
So Cadbury and I think it was Rawson was the other big chocolate company at the time. Me? We're so...
You say my name?
Rawson.
Oh, okay.
Rawson.
And they were so competitive that they started sending spies into each other's chocolate factories to see what was... And I was like, I didn't know that this was a thing. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory has taught me something.
That's wonderful.
Isn't it crazy? Can you imagine being a chocolate spy?
That'd be the best kind of spy there is.
That is a very impressive business card.
It is.
It's like Zancy Weber, chocolate spy.
Chocolate tester and spy.
Chocolate tester / spy.
Any other lessons? Lawson's already told us his.
I think the lesson is that you just have to be good. You just have to be nice, honest, kind, and you'll get somewhere. You know, just like Charlie is, you know, seemingly poor, got nothing behind him, but, you know, his morals are good, so in the end he wins versus all these horrible children who have lots of money, lots of power, lots of status, but they're awful people, so they don't get anywhere. So I think it's just...
Never underestimate the underdog, right?
Yeah, it's all about just being good and just believing in that and believing that it will get you somewhere because it will.
And nice.
I also think that, I think this is a running theme in a lot of Roald Dahl stuff, but just like the power of like childhood and yes. like goofiness and not growing up.
Yeah, because being
like Willy
silly.
Wonka is just like the actual picture of Arrested Development. But like he makes it work. Like he kind of harnesses that power that it gives him.
Yeah. It's good to be silly sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes being silly is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. As someone who makes a living off that.
Yeah, likewise.
And play and creativity and imagination shouldn't be something that leaves you as you grow older, right? Going into high school, you're like fully old now, Wilson, so you got to keep that.
Got to be cool now.
Yeah.
Got to be cool. Or else the mean girls will get me.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other lessons from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Not that I have.
I guess maybe we learnt that scaling back needs to be proportionate to the theatre that you're going into.
Yes, yes.
From a producing standpoint.
I learned from the movie that there is no such thing as an everlasting gobstopper.
That's true.
Just saying.
There are gobstoppers, but they're not everlasting.
No, they will go away.
They will go.
And you'll be left. It might take a while.
You'll be left sad and disappointed.
I have a box of the Wonka Everlasting Gobstoppers, actually. They're very nice.
It is a box of lies.
I know. Well, there is a lot in there, though.
They are tasty. I will.
If they last forever. You can actually win golden tickets as well in Wonka Bucks.
Movie
you can.
World, yeah.
Yeah, Movie World. But I mean, just if you...
If anyone knows, it's going to be you, Josh.
It's also they sell... But anywhere, like Movie World sells them, but other places do too. If you buy kind of the rights to this chocolate, you also get golden tickets. And I think it's like 1 in 50 and you just win another... chocolate bar. You just went bar. So it's not a chocolate. It's nothing crazy. But
so
still fun.
The lesson that you've all learnt listening today is that you need to buy a ticket to Movie World.
Yeah.
Buy a chocolate bar. You might get to see Josh.
Maybe.
I'm not
going to
tell
lucky.
You how. You're just going to figure it out when you've seen some shows or some street entertainment.
You'll figure it out.
And maybe you'll win a chocolate bar.
Well, why not upgrade to the year pass?
Oh my goodness.
Lawson!
Maybe we need
not
to
endorsed
contact.
By Movie World at all.
Maybe we need to contact Movie
Mini
World.
Businessman Lawson. Check
well,
this out.
We have
out.
Your next spokesperson, Movie World. His name is Lawson, and he will be he'll be right there ready to bring all the people in. Do you know what, guys? Now that we've talked about lessons, we haven't talked about Christian Bale enough. So I feel like
Christian
we should
Ball.
Play some music yep. and then talk about Dreamcast. Miranda's not on mic, so she can't get angry at me for doing this. But I think Christian Bale should continue playing Willy Wonka for the rest of his life.
I think he should too. He is wonderful, that
Can
man.
I say I prefer Douglas Hodge.
That's fine.
Douglas Hodge is also amazing. I think that they both encapsulated what they were going for in their productions. You know, like the Broadway was, come on, let's get cartoony, let's get wacky, Christian Bale. Whereas London was like a little bit more demented, a little bit darker.
Yeah,
and Douglas Hodge did that really well as well.
But if I had to ask, because Miranda gave me a dirty look, I'd probably
Does
put,
Miranda not like Christian Bale?
No, Miranda doesn't like me recasting people that have already been in the
oh,
show.
Oh, right, okay, that makes sense.
I would probably throw like a Jim Carrey or a Neil Patrick Harris in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, oh, Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris would be great. Jim Carrey, I think, would be great, but I've also gone kind of older comedian, and I think that Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he would too, actually.
Steve Martin would also be great. He'd be so sweet.
He would be so sweet.
But no, see, if you've watched his movies, he does that switch into dark
oh, absolutely.
Really quickly.
He does.
Yeah.
He'd be very scary. Who would you guys like to see if you were casting this show?
Do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Well, I think that Jude Law would actually be a really wonderful Willy Wonka.
He would be.
Because he plays that really kind of proper man really well. And I think he could push the nuttiness too if he wanted
and
to.
You know, Dumbledore to Willy Wonka, it's a natural
oh,
transition.
It's a natural. It's what happens, really. But I think Neil Patrick Harris as well. Like, that's really clever. I like that.
What about you, Lawson?
But Willy Wonka,
I want to say the magic of like Gene Wilder on stage, but if I had to cast somebody, probably Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman.
Keeping it Aussie, I like it.
Okay, all right. I'll give him a chance. See how he does.
Gene Wilder would be great. I'm not sure. I don't think Gene Wilder can sing.
He's not a great singer, Gene Wilder.
He's not a great singer, but he is my fiancé.
But to be fair, I'm not sure if Steve Martin can sing. So
I mean, it is our dream cast, so in this dream,
they can sing.
What about for Charlie?
I've just got a couple other...
Willy Wonkers.
Well, no, I wanted gender bended.
Oh, yes, is Audra McDonald playing Willy Wonkers?
No. I think Audra would be a great Mrs. Bucket.
She would be a great Mrs. Bucket.
I wanted to gender bend. Now, the one that definitely could not play it now because she's no longer with us, Lucille Ball,
mm-hmm.
I think would be a fantastic Gene Wilder-esque.
Yeah, no, yeah. She would actually.
Willy Wonka. But if living now, I think Emma Thompson would be a fantastic.
Emma Thompson would be a really great Willy Wonka.
She would be fun. I kind of would, though, if we're gender bending it, like to see like Sarah Silverman as Willy Wonka.
What about Kristen Wiig?
Oh, Kristen Wiig.
She'd
that
play
would be
nutty. So
yeah,
nutty.
She'd be very goofy, very goofy.
Nutty Wonka.
Interesting. All right.
No,
what about our Charlies?
Well, I recently watched Home Alone, and I think Macaulay Culkin, because he can like portray lots of emotions really well, and he's a pretty famous child actor.
He is a very famous child actor. He is probably about 35 now, so we might have to like
watch retirement, Wonka. Lucille Ball is.
I mean, I'm also in my 30s playing children, so I can't.
Let's
really
just do Wonka, but everyone's like 30 years older. It's like Wonka's genuinely old. All
Wonka's
the kids are in their mid 30s. Yeah. He's really going to give this factory away, stat.
Steve Martin's pretty old.
But I also think that,
he could
like,
do it.
Steve Martin with Macaulay Culkin would be a really fun duo.
Sure. You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't think he would play it now, but if we're talking back to like famous child actors, Haley Joel Osment would probably be a fun one as well.
If you had all of the like Macaulay era kid actors in there.
Because he was like a very like he was so pure in like pay
he
it
was.
Forward and what have you. Like yeah.
He is still just like a big kid now too. He just okay. You could have Jonathan Taylor Thomas in there. Let's put them all.
Mike TV.
Jonathan.
I mean,
Taylor
that's the thing. There are a lot
TV.
Of child roles.
There are a lot of child roles.
Zac Efron. Augustus Gloom.
Put him in a fat suit. He'll be fine. You had someone you wanted to do as Augustus. Lawson.
I have two controversial-ish ones. For Augustus, I would like to say Jack Black.
I think he'd be funny as.
Too controversial. So get out of here.
For Grandpa Joe, Danny DeVito.
Nice.
He can play like the
Please.
Old man role really well.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm 100% in on that one.
Do you know what?
I just want Danny DeVito to be the Oompa Loompa.
That would be even better.
Just superimpose him. 50 Danny DeVitos.
Now accept Macaulay Culkin as Charlie with your cast, Lawson. You've cast
Thank
us
you.
Very well.
Yeah, I agree.
You've cast us very, very well. Now all I can see is Danny DeVito.
An army of Danny DeVito coming
and
at you.
It's like Audra McDonald singing her heart out and then Danny DeVito just being like, I can walk now. Would be like the weirdest combination.
I love it.
I think that's great. Do we have any thoughts, feelings or emotions about the other children in the show? Veruca, Violet.
I don't know many child actors.
No.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Look, we could just put the cast of High School Musical, the musical, the series in as the rest of the children. Yep. It'll be fine.
That works.
Who's like a really bratty actor?
You could have young Dakota Fanning in there.
Like, I'm trying to think of someone who could do Mike TV, who is just like famously really bratty. There's heaps of them. God, there'd be heaps of them.
Like
famous people with an attitude.
Googling famous people with attitudes.
Heaps
3,000 million.
Yeah, there's heaps of them.
I don't remember his name, but he could voice Mike really well. Mm. The guy in Jumanji, who the tall guy gets embodied in.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Actually, he'd be very funny.
He
Mike
would be
TV.
Very funny.
He would be quite funny
you
as Mike TV.
You could have the Jonas Brothers all played a role.
Yep. But it's used to cast of the new Jumanji and put them in Willy Wonka.
There we go. I'm sure that Disney could help us out. They have a heap of child actors.
Well, there was the movie of the witches that just came out. We had Jazeera Bruno as the lead hero character.
Yes.
Does he even have a name? I'm not sure if he does have a name.
I think it's just Boy.
And then Cody Lee Eastick as the bratty sidekick. Yes. So I guess he could be Augustus.
And they know the Roald Dahl-esqueness that this show would need. The Witches, guys. I've got to make a confession. It's the scariest movie I will never see.
I haven't seen Witches.
It terrifies me.
The new one is less scary
than the Angelica Houston one.
Yes, that the Angelica Houston one is much scarier.
But what's scarier, The Witches or Pinocchio? The Disney version of Pinocchio. Nightmare fuel.
I would say The Witches.
Have you seen Angelica Houston?
I have seen it.
The one where she just starts like ripping her face off. I'm going to say that is scarier than...
Or Return to Oz.
Return to Oz is also terrifying. Guys, we're on a tangent. There's a long list of movies KB won't watch, so we could be here for days. Do we have any other like desperate casting before we move on to top five?
I don't think so.
No? No?
Let's do top five.
Let's do top
five. I have
five.
Some very good ones.
I can't wait. Play that music, Zane. Alrighty, guys. Top five lists for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Lawson, your notes are extensive, so I'm going to start with you.
I'll start off small and get better.
I love it.
Number one, gonna build.
Pretty obvious, but top five reasons why kids love chocolate. Number two, top five reasons kids are scared of heights. Glass elevator. Top five rags to riches moments. Top five luckiest moments. Top five reasons not to drink the brown water.
Only second to year in town.
Top five reasons of squirrel phobia.
Yeah.
Top five ways to cook cabbage. Top five ways to get your kids off TV. And top five gum chewing hazards.
This is amazing. Can you say squirrophobia for me again? Because that might be a lesson people are learning right now.
Squirrophobia.
Which is a squirrel phobia.
Yes,
guys.
You're all going to have that when you leave the show.
Apparently, the fear is not real. It is something... that they think is happening, but nothing is actually happening to them.
So there's actually no squirrel?
No, like, there's a squirrel, but the effects are, like, it causes drowsiness and stuff. They feel like that's happening.
Really?
It's actually not happening to them, apparently.
Lawson is confused. So
Dr. Lawson.
Dr. Lawson is here to tell us what all our fears and phobias are. I didn't know that that was a thing, that people... Squirrels are so cute. I want one as a pet.
These squirrels are not cute.
These squirrels are not cute. So we're going to come out of the
fangs.
Show.
They are horrifying squirrels.
To be fair, they do rip someone like apart. They tear their limbs off.
They tear a limb from limb.
I have been saying for years that if squirrels tore people apart more often, it would be a better world.
That's the second time you've said that
We would have less Veruca Salts running around.
They are some very good top fives. Now, your top five rags to riches might have some big you've got Cinderella.
Cinderella.
For one. You've got Annie. You've got...
Gypsy.
Gypsy?
Yeah.
Maybe it might be fourth or fifth.
Charlie would be fourth or fifth. Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
To be fair, if you come just like net worth, I think Charlie might be close
number
to
one.
The top.
Yeah.
After Annie. Maybe.
and if we want to say like shows we actually want to see, Charlie would be the top, whereas Annie would not be on.
KB just declares as if it's law.
I like luckiest moments. I think that's a really good one.
We'll have so many things to say on the episode. So, other top fives. Josh, do you have any
luck? I quite like his luckiest moments.
I think it's so wonderful.
I love that. But also... Fun shows that aren't necessarily here to prove anything, aren't here to, you know, be the biggest and the best, like here to just go in, have a really good time with yourself and that's it, you know what I mean? Like, just a fun show, really fun show.
I would put it on top five interesting villains.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, because Willy Wonka technically is the villain of the piece.
He is a villain.
But it's a super interesting character and like not... played in a regular villainous way.
He's a villain who had... I mean, every villain is the hero of his own story, but, you know, he's a villain with a good heart, you know?
Yeah.
He's a villain who wants the best.
Yes, exactly. You're right. He's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
You couldn't really frame him. Like, you couldn't really say that, oh, he killed them.
No, like, no, the squirrels do. That's how he gets away with
it. Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, it was the squirrel's fault.
You couldn't arrest him or anything.
Oh, no.
You
couldn't. Stop, please.
And the, he did tell them not to touch anything without permission. Yep, so
true. All... And the Oompa Loompas definitely came to the factory on their own terms.
Yeah.
Would
he
we?
Put out a job advert.
Honestly, top five Greek choruses.
Yeah.
For the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah.
Very, very true. Would we have this on the top five book to movie to musical list?
I think so. Yeah, I like it.
Book it's a big one.
To movie.
It is a big one. What else have you got? Musical. Wicked?
You got the Wizard of Oz.
Biggest. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. One of the biggest differences that I noticed is that the book, it was originally Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and then Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator.
Yes.
They're two separate things, but with the movie and the musical, they've combined them.
They have combined them. There was also going to be,
really?
It was going to be called Charlie in the White House, and he was Roald Dahl was writing it. He passed away, so imagine what story the musical
White
would
House.
Have been. Yeah,
like
Charlie
president.
Became president.
Yeah.
Like
President Charlie. Chocolate for all people.
Do you think it was he became president, or he went and had an adventure with the president?
Or was it just a White House?
Who knows?
He just painted the factory white. That's the book.
And we will never know because those transcripts will never be released.
What about top five shows with food in the title?
Okay.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay.
Top five sweet shows.
Top five sweet shows. You've got Waitress. You've got
Ratatouille.
Elf. You've got Ratatouille, the TikTok musical.
Where's the episode on that? I want to listen to that.
It's coming
up. It's coming.
We've had people.
Ah, yes.
The next one will be Bridgerton, the TikTok musical. top five, food-related musical.
There's a lot of food-related musicals.
But not in the title.
Not in the title. So
I think
that
it always makes
it
you hungry, though. Like, when you watch... Whenever I watch Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the movie or anything, I'm always hungry afterwards.
I would like some chocolate, please.
I always feel like chocolate.
Some of the chocolate bars in the new one were actually real. Most of them were fake, but they did supply, like... 150,000 real chocolate.
Oh, yeah, just
some. Just a casual 150,000.
No, there's like a million something plastic chocolate bars. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, they were sponsored by a confectionery company. Title, Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Top five, would we put this in like top five production value of like in terms of like set and costume?
I mean,
maybe the West End one.
Yeah. Top five spectacle.
In the West End version, they flew down... a bunch of piping with like for the chocolate room when Augustus gets sucked up the pipe with Oompa Loompas in it. So they flew about seven cast members plus this massive set down from the ceiling. And it was just such a technical achievement.
Guys, who would have thought that money could do so many things?
If I had money, that's what I would do. Fly
top
Oompa
five.
Loompas.
Just in my house
Fly
regularly.
Oompa Loompas.
Yeah. Have some Oompa Loompas.
People would come over and I'd be like, wait for it.
I'd buy some.
You'd buy some?
Oompa Loompas. They could make chocolate for me all the time.
All you got to do is pay them in cocoa beans. They love the stuff.
Amazing. And then they use those cocoa beans to make chocolate. Yeah,
exactly.
Amazing.
It's a big roundabout. It's a circle.
Apparently they eat cocoa beans raw.
Apparently that's terrible because they taste very bad.
They're very bitter,
Before they're cooked. Yeah.
Is this top five Christian ball rocks?
Oh, definitely. I would even peg it at number one.
What do you reckon?
I know that's controversial, but I like it.
Are you thinking about it? Like maybe not.
I wouldn't say one. I would say second.
Close to one.
Close
to second. What's one? Shakespeare, Emmett.
What's the other roles?
Dreamcatcher. He was beautiful in Dreamcatcher.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think because from day one when they were writing this, he was singing the demos.
Yeah.
Like they would have had his voice in mind. He would have had, you know, they rewrote, like him and Jack O'Brien would have had so much, you know.
He
would have had a lot of input
on the list. I don't know where I would place him. I would need to listen to the things again. I'll do some research and I'll get back to you.
He's on the list.
Yeah.
I
think he's definitely
on the list. It's funny because quite often those in the demos, not necessarily workshop but pre-workshop, aren't often cast in the role, so it's like
it's
tailored to him. I just watched a very sad story about Jeremy Jordan in The Greatest Showman.
Yes, I saw that as well.
Where he was asked to do all the demos or all the workshops, sung for Hugh Jackman when Hugh Jackman lost his voice and then didn't get in the fall.
I mean,
Zac got developed Zac Efron.
Wasn't it Brian from Avenue Q who like workshopped the show and then made him audition and he didn't get it?
He didn't get it, yeah.
Even though it was based on him as a person.
Yeah.
I'm auditioning for myself.
It's like if you were to do a chorus line and not cast any of the people whose stories you're telling on stage. It's there are some sad moments. It makes me a bit sad. Any other top fives, guys?
Don't think so.
No.
Nah.
No.
I think we've got this top five things that you should see in February.
Top five. And you know what? That is a wonderful segue into us plugging Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at Phoenix Theatre on the Gold Coast in Beenleigh.
That's it.
What is your opening date, guy?
The 5th of February.
The 5th of February. So you have
coming up
a few weeks.
Yeah, every Friday and Saturday in February. Saturdays with matinees. So Saturday. There's plenty.
You have so many opportunities to see these guys.
Get your golden ticket.
Buy your golden ticket today. Look at it. Buy a golden ticket today. You don't even have to win it. You can
buy the golden ticket. Imagine if it was that easy.
I do have a question. Do your tickets come with a chocolate bar?
You should definitely talk to the boss about that.
They do come with a very sweet show.
They do come with a very sweet
They
show.
Come with, you
Lawson,
get 2 hours of Lawson on stage.
I just got Lawson, if you don't go into a career of marketing and, obviously performing because you're very good, I don't know what's going to happen. You're very good at this.
Thank you.
It is. It's everyone in the show is truly wonderful. The cast, the creative team, the costumes, the set. It's wonderful. Everyone's at the top of their game.
Everyone's really nice there. And if anyone's thinking of auditioning for one of the upcoming shows, do it. Yeah, everyone's really welcoming and nice there. So,
and a plug for Phoenix in general. Guys, look at us go. Are there any other things you would like to tell us about before, what you're doing, what other
shows? Anything coming up this year social media?
We've already plugged Movie World.
We've plugged Movie World. Yeah, come on down. You'll see me around.
No? Otherwise, we will post the links to all the production and to Phoenix in our show notes. Definitely, if you are in the Brisbane, Gold Coast area and the surrounds, have a look-see at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, because you might not, but the professional production got cancelled due to COVID. So
it did. So yeah, it's going to be the first one in Brisbane.
I was going to see that.
Just
I did see it.
Preparation.
I saw it. They had one dress rehearsal got invited. So I was lucky enough to see it. It was a very emotional evening. It was very sad.
Aww.
And also very, it was bittersweet because you go, wow, what a fantastic show.
They had
no one got to
Brisbane.
See this. Yeah. Well, they had Charlie. He never got to do a show.
Aww.
That was it. It was just one night.
Sad.
It was very sad. So you're going to have to do it for him as well, Lawson.
Lawson, don't feel like there's too much pressure on those shoulders, but you're doing it for kids everywhere.
You're doing it for kids everywhere.
But yeah, if anyone's thinking of auditioning, do it. Really nice. And in my first audition, I threw lollies at them and they did not care one bit.
Do you
they
know
would
what?
Have loved
if
that.
As a panelist, if you threw lollies at me, I also wouldn't care. I'd be like, thank you. I've been here for 6 hours. This
Cast
is exactly
him.
What
He's
I
in
needed.
The show.
He's in.
He's in. He threw candy at me.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much for coming on today and giving up your son.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, Lawson. You can come back anytime, even without Josh if you want.
Come on in.
Thank you also, Josh. It's nice to have you. I honestly can't believe you haven't been on the show before.
I'd love to come back anytime.
Talk to Miranda. She can schedule that in for you.
Let's do it,
guys. It's been me, KB, your host, with Zane C. Weber. It's been a while since we've shared the table.
That's me. I'm Zane C.
Zane C. and KB. You
guys should be a rap duo.
Everybody, do you know that's not the first time that's been requested?
It's got to happen then.
No, it doesn't have to happen.
Popular belief.
Maybe after Zane does the Necronomicon, we might do a rap battle for you, depending on how
970 patrons still to go, so I'm feeling safe, is how I'm feeling.
If you guys would like to find us, Taught Us Gang, you can find us on Facebook at Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Musicals Teach Me. You can shoot us an email if you want at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to be one of the 970 people that gets Zane to dance the Necronomicon, you can go to patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingIKnow. It has been a pleasure talking to you guys about Charlie. Thank you so much for coming on, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
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 Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.